I have just received a note from my friend Elihu Root. He says, you have a very good start in life, and your friends have great hopes for you when you grow up.
Mr. President, starring Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Edward Arnold and written by Gene Holloway. Mr. President, at home in the White House, the elected leader of our people, our fellow citizen and neighbor, these are little-known stories of the men who have lived in the White House. Dramatic, exciting events in their lives that you and I so rarely hear. True human stories of Mr. President.
We'll bring you Edward Arnold as Mr. President in just a moment. But first, let's take a look at the men who have lived at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., one of the most famous residences in the world. The men who live there are tenants with a four-year lease, our presidents. A national election held once every 4 years makes a man a president. But what makes a president a man? Well, it's the little things he brings to his job, his habits, opinions, hobbies, his mood across the breakfast table. There's a human side to the highest office in the land, and you'll find it in the story of Woodrow Wilson's old-fashioned typewriter and Teddy Roosevelt's Indian clubs, which must have improved his grip because he shook hands with several thousand people one New Year's Day. This sort of personal history reveals the man, and that's what our Mr. President series tries to present. And now, see if you can name the president upon whom this episode is based.
Early in Washington, but the president was already at his desk. He was facing a terrible situation, and he was determined to get to the bottom of it. Now, see here, there is a limit to human endurance, you know. Oh, yes, there is, whatever you may think to the contrary. There is definitely a limit to human endurance. Now, I want to know. I want to know right now. Who butted the banister coming down the main staircase? I said, who put butter on the banister coming down the main staircase?
Well, let me see.
Anyone might have done it.
Sure, anyone.
Yes, it's quite true that anyone might have done it. But no one possessed of very much intelligence would have done it.
Why?
Did you ever come down a staircase with clean white gloves on and put your hand on a freshly buttered banister?
No, sir.
Well, I did.
You did?
Yes, I did. And I'll tell you another thing.
Yes, sir?
I didn't like it.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Now, suppose that had happened to a foreign diplomat. You know what might have occurred?
He might have buttered his gloves.
That's right. He might have buttered his gloves. And we might have found ourselves at war with his country. A thing like that could very easily become an international incident.
No.
Yes. Yeah. Now, boys, I want my sons to have friends, and I don't want to have to declare the White House out of bounds for you.
Gee, Dad, don't do that.
Well, no, I have to do something. I never know what I'm going to find when I come out the door. Now, let's take the matter of the spitballs I found all over the portrait of Andrew Jackson.
You already punished us for that.
And there were the muddy footprints you got all over the floor of the State Building.
Oh, but that was because we walked through the fountain before we went in.
Did you have to walk in through the fountain?
Well, we were playing follow the leader.
Who was the leader?
I was.
Did you have to walk through the fountain?
Well, it was a hot day.
If you want to walk through fountains, all right, but stay outside until your shoes are dry.
Are you telling those boys it's all right for them to walk through fountains?
As long as they stay outside until their shoes are dry.
Do you know what it does to shoes when little boys walk through fountains in them?
Not good, huh?
Not good.
Boys, don't walk through fountains with your shoes on.
Yes, sir. And if you do, then don't come into the house until they're dry.
Yes, sir.
Well, that was a big help.
Everything in the White House is the property of the people of the United States. And they have a right to expect protection of their property. Now, scat, go on, go outside. Stay outside for the rest of the day and don't touch any more government property. Or I'm liable to have you tried for treason, court-martialed, and shot.
Gee, golly, you can't do that.
Why not?
We're underage.
Hmm?
Well, they've got you now.
Well, buy my formal striped pants if you're underage now and this keeps up. I'll wait until you are of age and court-martial you then. Now, go on, get out of here. Good. Go on, behave yourself. Be good. Those are orders.
Yes, Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. President.
And see that you remember it. Yeah, real boys. From their heads to their toes, they're real boys. You know, that is a pretty funny idea, buttering a staircase.
You didn't think so an hour ago.
Well, it may have taken a little time for me to recover my sense of humor, of course.
The gloves may have to be thrown out.
Well, it's worth the price of a pair of gloves to have a good laugh on them. Well, they're outside now. They're out of trouble for the rest of the day. You know, I gave them a good talking to. Oh, yes, yes. Well, thank goodness I'm past the age when I can be scolded. Yes?
Mr. President.
What a gang. Great boys. Great
Mr.
boys.
President.
Your secretary speaking to you, Mr. President.
Huh? What? Oh, what is it, Bill? I'm sorry.
Mr. Johnson, the head of the Secret Service, is asking to see you, sir.
Oh, well, have him come in. Have him come in.
Yes, sir.
I better go see about lunch. Those three small boys are going to consume rations for six if they keep going at the rate they started.
Good morning, Mr. President. Mrs. President.
Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you today?
I'm well, Mr. President, but I have a rather serious matter to discuss with you.
I'll see about lunch.
I wish you'd stay, Mrs. President. You might be able to help.
Oh, really?
Mr. President, may I speak plainly?
Of course, Mr. Johnson. What is it?
Mr. President, you are becoming more and more of a problem to the Secret Service.
What?
As a matter of fact, I've heard several of the men say that if you were your son's age, they'd like to administer a good paddling to the place the good Lord designated for paddling.
What a charming idea.
Now, see here, I don't see that I've done anything that gives the Secret Service any right
to... Now, Mr. President... Search your conscience.
Oh, that's a tall order.
There's the Secret Service, ready, willing, eager to protect you. And what do you do to them?
Oh, Edith, stop your laughing. Well, I haven't butted their banisters. What?
Their what?
Never mind, it's strictly a family joke.
You seem to have deliberately set out to see how you can hide from the Secret Service. You slip out side doors, you slip out basements, you...
Are you scolding me?
Mr. President, the Secret Service is there for your protection.
Well, I cooperate with the Secret Service. Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes,
when
you know...
When I went to Birmingham, the Secret Service went right along with me. When I went out
Oh, you know you do try to get away from them, dear.
Oh, sure.
And after all, as Mr. Johnson says, they're just there for your protection.
Well, I don't need any protection.
You're the property of the people of the United States, and as such, they have a right to expect protection.
Ah, you're an eavesdropper.
I was not eavesdropping. I was right there when you said it.
Well, you shouldn't have listened. If you were going to use it against me.
I'm not using it against you. I'm just pointing out that what applies for your son and his friends applies for you, too.
Oh, well, all right, all right. I won't hide from the Secret Service anymore. Well,
after all, someone might take a shot at you from a crowd. Oh, you might get hurt.
And then the Secret Service would get the blame.
A man can't have any fun anymore. No fun at all.
Well, you don't have to have your fun at the expense of the Secret Service.
All right, all right. I'll be good.
Raise your right hand and say it again.
I'll be good.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sure that will be a great relief to the Secret Service. I'm sorry we had to have this little talk.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Johnson. Boys will be boys, you know. And every once in a while, they need a little talking to. Some of them butter the banisters, and some of them play hide-and-seek with the Secret Service.
There's always someone to spoil it for them, too.
I'm sorry, Mr. President, but it just had to be done. Good day, sir.
Good day, Johnson.
Oh, now, this time I really am going to see about lunch.
A man can't have any fun at all anymore. He really can't.
What did you say, dear?
Oh, nothing. There goes Johnson across the lawn.
Oh?
I hope the boys trip him.
Dear.
They did. They tripped him.
Oh.
He went right down a... Oh. Yes, they tripped him, and a doggone good job they did of it, too.
I don't see them. Why do you say that they tripped him? They aren't even inside.
Naturally, they aren't inside.
Well, then how do you know they did it?
I know my son. I know. That's what I would have done if I'd been out there. Well, I better get to work.
Oh, Mr. President.
Yes, Lee, come in, come in.
I'll see you at lunch, dear.
All right.
You mind if I close the door, Mr. President?
No, no, of course not. What is it? Tell me, is something wrong?
Mr. President, I've been doing some investigating on my own, and I'm convinced there's some fraud going on in connection with the importations by the Sugar Trust throughout the New York Custom House.
In what way?
A friend of mine, a man named Richard Peters, has been down there a lot on other duties. And he believes, from what he has seen, that the sugar companies are defrauding the government in the matter of weights.
Oh, I see.
He asked me if I wouldn't try and arrange for him to be made an investigating officer in the Treasury Department and be assigned to this matter.
Well, do you trust him?
Oh, yes, sir, I do. I think he's as honest as they come.
All right, Bill. I'll take your word for it. You write a letter to the Secretary of the Treasury requesting this man's appointment, and I'll sign it. If there's any fraud going on in this country, particularly in the matter that concerns the government, I want to know it.
Yes, Mr. President. I'll write the letter immediately.
Mr. President, do something. We're not going to have any garden hose if you don't do something.
What do you mean?
The boys are chopping up the garden hose with a fire hatchet.
Chopping up the garden hose?
Yes.
Good heavens, no. Well, I'll put a stop
Please,
to that.
Dear.
I never saw such a group of boys in my life. Never. Here, boys, stop that. Stop it, boys. Do you hear me? Confirm it. Cease hostility. Cease firing. Cease firing.
Hey, fellas, look. The president.
Hey, get that hose away from me, will you? Watch what you're pointing at. Turn off the water. Turn off the water. I'm all wet. I'm all wet.
The water's turned off now.
Just the same, I'm all wet. Even a member of the opposition party wouldn't dare do this to me. Even the Democrats wouldn't dare soak me like this.
They think you're all wet anyhow.
Well, they're right at this moment. Son.
Who, me?
Now, you're the one that's holding the hatchet, aren't you?
Yes, I seem to be, sir.
Yes, you certainly seem to be. May I ask you why you were chopping the government's garden hose?
Well, we were having a battle.
You see, sir, my side had captured the flag, and his side was trying to capture it back.
Oh, I see. A serious battle, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Real serious.
Who was winning?
Well, he might have won the standard back if...
If what?
Well, if you hadn't come along when you did, I suppose you're real mad about the hose.
Well, now, in the heat of battle, many things happen which could not be countenanced for one moment at other times. The circumstances must always be given every possible consideration. You see that, don't you? Now, son, you were wrong to chop up the hose, weren't you?
It was the heat of battle.
The heat of battle.
The heat.
Huh? Well, nevertheless, it wasn't the right thing to do, was it?
No, sir.
Tommy.
No, sir.
George.
No, sir.
And why was it wrong, the wrong thing to do?
Well, because it was lunchtime?
No.
Because we might have disturbed someone?
No.
Because you got all wet?
No! I was simply a casualty of the war. I don't count. It was wrong because the hose is not your property. It belongs to the government.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Court-martial again.
Now, son, and the rest of you, you interrupted government business by forcing me to come out here and make an attempt to rescue government property. And my time is money. Because the government is paying me. And you destroyed government property. Now, I'm going to compute the money you owe the government for the time I've lost, and I shall inquire into the price of the hose. And my son, it will be deducted from your allowance.
Yes, sir.
We'll help out of our allowance.
Sure, me too. I just got a raise. I get 25 cents a week now.
Now then, it's just about time for a, for a game of ball before lunch.
But you're all wet.
Oh, I'll dry off in the sun.
Boys, you're all wet. Now you get right upstairs and change clothes at once.
You mean I have to go clear home and change?
Me too? I'm not very wet.
Son, you loan them some dry things.
Yes, Mother.
Hurry now. Lunch is ready.
Come on, fellas.
Well, Mr. President, you heard me, didn't you?
Well, you were talking to the boys.
Oh, that includes you, Mr. President. Now, march. Get right upstairs and into some dry things immediately. Go on now, scat.
You're not my mother.
You often make me feel as though I am.
Now, see here, I am the President of the United States, and don't forget it.
Mr. President, I never forget it. In fact, the only one I've ever seen forget it is you. In addition to being the biggest man in the nation, you also seem to be the smallest boy. Now, march!
Yes, ma'am.
In just a moment, we'll come back to Edward Arnold and Mr. President.
Here's a word now on a subject that's vital to all of us. It's a subject that cost the people of America $2,650,000,000 last year alone. But even more expensive were the 32,000 lives lost in traffic accidents. And the tragic part of these accidents is that almost all are due to sheer carelessness. From the motorist's point of view, major causes of traffic casualties were violations of speed regulations and driving on the wrong side of the road. And one out of every four fatal accidents in 1948 involved a driver or a pedestrian who had been drinking. Now let's look at the pedestrian's viewpoint. Three out of every four pedestrians killed by motor vehicles were either violating a traffic law or committing an unsafe act. Remember, your life is in your own hands. Be careful. The life you save may be your own. And now back to Edward Arnold and Mr. President.
Well, have you guessed who the president was when all this happened? It really did happen, you know, in Washington just a few years ago. The president's son and his gang were busy all over the White House.
Hey, fellas. Look at these cabinets in the foyer.
Those are so people have to wait and look at the White House china. See it from different administrations.
You know, I always wondered how the things in this cabinet would look in that cabinet over there.
How could we do that?
Well, George has a skeleton key.
Do you think it would fit?
It fits anything.
Well, let's see if it fits this.
See? I told you it opens anything.
Think we could move it before anyone came along?
Let's try. Here, I'll take a cup and saucer. Gee, we're getting mud all over them.
Well, maybe no one will notice. Anyway, we'll improve the looks of the cabinet so much they'll be glass.
Sure they will. I hope so.
While the president's son and his gang were busy improving the White House, John Peters was busy investigating the Sugar Trust. And the president was busy with that and the affairs of the nation.
Mr. President.
Yes, Bill.
John Peters has been removed from his investigation of the Sugar Trust.
Yes. What? By whose order?
I don't know that, sir. But I just received word from Peters. Another agent's been put on the case.
Who's the other agent?
But he didn't tell me. I don't think he knows. Mr. President, there are some very powerful interests who don't want this case investigated. I personally think it's because they're afraid of Peters.
I want him put back on the case, and I want him put back immediately. Bill, could you arrange for me to talk to Peters privately without anyone knowing about it?
Why, yes, of course, Mr. President.
I'd like to talk to him as soon as possible. Mr. Peters, if there is fraud and corruption any place in this government, I want it smashed. I want it stamped out.
I think I'm getting close to the end of my trail, Mr. President. I know I'm close enough to make the other side nervous.
What do you say then?
I was offered a bribe by the dock superintendent of one big firm, Mr. President.
Oh, now we're getting someplace. I've issued orders that you were to be put back on the case, and I am also investigating why you were removed in the first place. I want the name of the man who offered you a bribe. We'll get to the bottom of this and clean it out, if it's my last official act.
That's exactly the way I feel about it, Mr. President.
And as soon as we have some concrete evidence to go on, we'll start action against every man involved. You're a good man, Peters, for nosing out that the sugar companies were defrauding the government through the New York Custom House.
But from every other consideration involved, it's unfair for the sugar companies that are honest to have to compete with the prices of those who are not.
We'll clean them out, Peters. We'll clean them out. You come the minute you have your evidence.
I will, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Son, look at the dishes in those cabinets. You look too, Tommy, and you, George. Now, how do those dishes look to you?
They look like they're in good health.
In good health?
Health?
Uh-huh. They, don't look a little, muddy to you?
Well, it depends on where you look at them.
Now, boys, the china in these cabinets is very valuable. I don't want you to ever touch it again. I'm not going to play games with you and tell you about courts martial. If I ever find that you've touched it again, I'm going to deal with you severely. And you know what that means.
You don't understand, little boys. You wouldn't say that, Mother.
No.
No.
Now, that's where you're all three very much mistaken. I understand little boys very well. And I know just where the flat of the hand has to be applied with vigor to emphasize an order. So hands off the dishes.
Gee, your mother's a hard woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we better not touch the dishes anymore.
Yeah.
No more.
Oh, here you are. Yeah, I was looking for you, boys.
Have you got a confidential mission for us?
Well, you know, I was thinking... Here, sit down on the stairs where we won't be heard. I was thinking that we might slip away from the Secret Service tonight and go out to Rock Creek Park and ford the stream and cook our supper over a campfire and sleep out there tonight. What do you say?
Gee, I'm for it.
Good. Well, you run home and ask your parents, but tell them it's a secret now. And then you meet my son and me at our regular meeting place in the park at 7 o'clock. How about it?
We'll be there. Come on, Tommy. We'll go get permission.
Mind you, not a word to anyone.
Not anyone.
Anyone.
All right, hurry now. Now, son, we'll make our plans. We'll get some bacon and some flour and water, and we'll wait until it starts to get dark, and then we'll slip out. The Secret Service will never know we've gone. And then... What's the matter? Why are you looking like that?
Golly, I love you.
Oh, dear. Well, here, come on. Your face is all dirty. Stop it now.
Cakes were sure good.
Sure good.
Good.
You know, my father taught me how to make them. And I'll teach you someday so you can teach your sons.
The Secret Service Department sure was asleep with the switch tonight. How'd you get away from them?
Oh, we slipped out while their backs were turned, and then we forded the stream twice.
Just in case they might pick up our scent.
Mm-hmm. And we made our way from tree to tree until we met you. We really gave them the slip.
Mr. President.
Yeah?
When I grow up, I want to be just like you.
Oh, you do.
Me too.
We all do.
Well, then I'll tell you what to do. Never forget that life is an adventure. That everything that happens to you is part of that adventure. There's fun in everything, no matter what the job is. If you'll just look for it. It's when people forget to look for the fun in life that they start to grow old and life stops being fun. Somehow, when you stop expecting interesting things to happen, they stop happening. Well, what do you say we unroll our blankets and turn in? Hmm?
It's sure a wonderful night, isn't it?
It sure is wonderful.
It sure is.
Yep.
Daniel Boone. How was the night in the woods?
Oh, we had a grand time, Mrs. Boone. Simply grand.
We sure did.
Well, you better get into your office. Mr. Peters is waiting for you.
All right, all right. Oh, hello, Mr. Peters. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. President. I have our information.
Good.
I have discovered a steel spring in one of the scales in which the sugar is weighed at the wharves. Because of this spring, the weight that shows on the scale is far below the actual weight of the sugar. In this way, they're able to cheat the government out of a good deal of money that should be paid as duty.
Ah, congratulations, Mr. Peters. I'm delighted, delighted. I will go over all the evidence. We will bring suit against everyone involved immediately. You've done a magnificent job. A magnificent job.
Of the Secret Service is waiting outside.
Have him come in.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. It's nice to see you in such a good humor. Did you have a nice evening in the woods?
In the... Confounded. How did you know about that?
Oh, my men said they enjoyed being out of doors just as much as you did.
Oh, they did. Were they along?
Yeah. They forded the stream twice. Just behind you. Slipped from tree to tree. Of course, they had to eat a cold supper. They didn't want you to see their fire. And they said those hot cakes and bacon really smell good.
Well, well.
Thought you'd given us the slip, didn't you?
Why, no, Mr. Johnson. As a matter of fact, I planned that little outing just to see if the Secret Service was on its toes. And I'm glad to hear they were, sir. I'm glad to hear they were.
You knew they were along?
Mr. Johnson, the Secret Service is never going to get the best of me. And if by any chance they did, I'd be the last person in the world to let them know about it. Well, you've probably figured out by now who the president was when all that happened. It really did happen, you know, and you'll have the answer in just a moment.
Do you want to be on the inside of the news? Well, the news is that Walter Winchell returns to the air tonight. Yes, you'll know the real facts about current headlines and events. You'll know the news inside and outside when you hear Walter Winchell tonight over this same ABC station. And when it's news styled the Winchell way, it's also 15 minutes of exciting news exclusives and exposés. From coast to coast, this dynamic commentator with a famous machine gun-like delivery returns to give listeners the lowdown on the week's highlight happenings. So don't forget, Winchell returns to the air tonight with his forthright, vigorous commentary on the news of the week. Listen to Walter Winchell over this same ABC station. And now, back to Edward Arnold and Mr. President.
Well, boys, we certainly had a good time on that outing, didn't we? You and I and the Secret Service.
You know, Father, I heard someone say that you were so nice, no one would ever know you were the President of the United States.
Oh, who said that?
I said it.
Me too.
I agree with them.
Well, I am the President of the United States, and don't you forget it, when your mother's around. When your mother isn't around, all you have to keep in mind is that the other member of your gang is Teddy Roosevelt. Be with us again next week, won't you, for another exciting story that happened in Washington a few years ago to Mr. President. Goodbye.
Edward Arnold appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor musical That Midnight Kiss, starring Catherine Grayson, Hosea Turby, Ethel Barrymore, and Mario Lanza. Mr. President was created by Robert G. Jennings. It was produced and directed by Ted Toe. Today's story was based on incidents in the life of President Theodore Roosevelt.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.